heart, a heart filled with adoration and love and reverence and respect, to be so affected by the Spirit of God and changed in your thinking that your praise of God just pours out of you, and you are truly, truly worshiping. And when you do that, when a person really does that, they get it. They want to do more of it. So very often, we don't worship. Even when we're here, we don't worship. But we should. We should worship God. And the song service is the part of the worship that you personally get to engage in the most. Now, you should be listening to the prayer, and you should be meaning what is being said, and you should be listening to the sermon, and you should be thinking about what is said, and you should give with a heart that is generous. But when you are singing, you are singing. And what you are saying, you are to mean. And it is to be meaningful to you. So let's truly worship today in song together. Let's do what this verse says. To speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and in our hearts make music to the Lord. We need to do that. Speak to one another and speak to God and really worship. Now, one of the things that we do in worship is we praise and honor God, and we declare His glory. We talk about God. We say, God, this is who You are, and I recognize who You are. And You are great. You are awesome. And to do that, we're going to sing this song. James is going to lead us in this song, Worthy Art Thou. But before we sing that song together, let's look at the song. And it may help you to take out the songbook, because I don't want to flip through these screens and then flip back. This song is number 34, and it's a fascinating song. It's a song based on that passage, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. And in Revelation chapter 5, John is seeing heaven. He's in a vision and he sees heaven. And what does he see in heaven? He sees the people of God praising God and singing. And he sees angels. And they're praising God. And some people say that the angels aren't singing. I'm not convinced of that. I think they are singing. Because it's in the context. The people sing, the angels do their bit, and then everybody, the angels and all the people and everybody, join in together. But this verse 12, Revelation 5, it's the angels who say the words that we're about to sing. And what do they say? What do the angels say? And we're talking about a lot of angels. Thousands upon thousands. Ten thousands upon ten thousands. And just think about it in your head. This multitude of angelic host. And what do they say? They praise the Lamb of God. They praise Jesus. And anybody who thinks that Jesus is not deity, they're not paying attention. The angels are praising Jesus, the Lamb. And they're saying, you are worthy. And they say you are worthy of seven things. The number seven is a number of perfection. And we're going to say in our song what the angel said. Worthy are you of riches and blessings and honor and wisdom and glory and power and thanksgiving or blessing. You're worthy of these things. And you just think about the sound the angels were making when they said that. Were they worshiping? You better believe they were. Are you going to worship with them? Are you going to worship the Lord today, the Lamb of God, by saying this blessing of seven things in song? Sure you are. We're all going to do it together. James is going to lead us. Go ahead, James.
Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before thee with singing, fill through wisdom and power. May we ascribe thee glory and honor. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou.
To make sure and turn my microphone off when I sing, though. You don't want to hear that. When we worship God, something else that we do is described in this verse here in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, is your heart filled with the Word of God? Is it rich with the Word of God? You ever bite into a sweet, moist, succulent cake? And just how rich it is in butter and gooey goodness. It's rich. You say, man, that's rich. Is your heart rich with the Word of God and wisdom? The wisdom that the Word of God imparts. And then when you sing these songs, is the thoughts that you are saying, are they really coming from you? Now, I know we have to have songs that are written, prepared ahead of time, because the mechanics demand it. We must all sing the same song, so it must be a written song, and it must be a song that we can read and think about together, because we need to say those same words at the same time. And so somebody else writes the song and we read the song, but they must become our words too. We must look at these words, and if they truly are the words of God, they reflect the words of God, they express the same thoughts as the words of God, then they are God's wisdom, and we are saying that. We are saying God's wisdom, and we're saying it to each other. You're saying it to me, and I'm saying it to you. And we do that, teach and admonish one another, because that's what the song's about. The song is about teaching each other, declaring our mutual devotion. This is what I believe. This is what you believe. This is what we believe together. We teach each other. We admonish each other. This is what we are committed to. This is what a song is about. It's not just making a noise. It's not just doing something that's entertaining or something that's enjoyable, although it should be enjoyable. It's expressing thoughts that are deep and profound and wonderful and that are meaningful to us personally. This is me. This is my life. And this is what I encourage you to be as well. We're going to sing a song, A Beautiful Life. light. And it's Psalm 395. Now turn to that Psalm 395. And this is what we're going to say when we sing this song together and to each other. And you'll notice that it's a song in which we are saying what we are committing ourselves to. Now, why would I tell you what I'm committing myself to? Because I think you need to do it too. We're all saying to each other, this is what we all think that we should be doing. Each day, I'll do a golden deed. Now, are you going to do that or not? Are you? Because don't say it if you're not going to do it. But that's part of what the worship is about. It's about saying, you know, what am I going to do the rest of my week? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do today? Am I going to live the life of Christ? And I'm saying I will in song to God and to my brethren. Each day, I'm going to do a golden deed. I'm going to help somebody who's in need. And I know that my life is short. It's just a little bit of time. But while I'm here, I'm going to do the best I can. Verse 2. Every day I'm going to be a child of God. Every day I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to sing His praise. And I'm going to strive to help some troubled soul. That's what I'm going to do. Because the only life that's going to endure is one that's kind and good and pure. I believe that, don't you? It's only life worth living. It's a beautiful life. And so for God, I'll take my stand and each day I'll lend a helping hand. And while going down life's weary road, I'm going to find somebody who's under a burden and I'm going to try to lift that off of them. To bring light into the darkness of this world. And beauty that comes from living the life of Christ. This is what we do. We admonish and encourage each other, and we teach each other, and this is a song that we're going to sing in order to do that. Let's sing it together and mean it. Really mean it.
I'd mentioned to Doug that we were going to sing verses 1 through 3. If verse 4 pops up, we'll sing that one too.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. life's evening sun
is
sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
Sing a song before the Lord's Supper. And the purpose of that song is to help us think about what the Lord's Supper is about. And that's part of what the songs are supposed to do. They're supposed to get us thinking. And one of the things that we think about, because that's what the words are about, is what God has done for us. God has helped me. God has blessed me. God has guided me and been thoughtful of me. And in many ways, more than I can count and more than I'm even aware of, God has, through His providential care, taken care of me. And so when we sing these songs, we say, God, what You've done is wonderful. And we think about the great things that He did in the Bible. And a lot of the songs are about that. They're about things that God has done in the past to bring about our salvation. But the most important thing, the greatest thing that God has done for us, is to give His Son for our salvation. 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 10 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, and make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad." Now, I want other people to know. I want them to know what God has done. I want you to know what God has done. I want you to know what God has done for me. And that's part of what we do in song. We declare. We say, God is awesome. God is great. Look what He has done. And marvel at it. Wonder at it. Be filled with a sense of that wonder. And when we take the Lord's Supper, that's what we're doing. We're thinking about what a wonderful thing this was. What an amazing thing this was that God did for us in sending His Son. We're going to sing this song, "How Deep the Father's Love." It's not in our songbook. You're going to have to follow up here on the screen. And I'm not going to go through the verses because I think they are self-explanatory. Most of these are. What I want to encourage you to do is as you think about what we're about to do, take the Lord's Supper. I talked about this last week. Think about what it was that Jesus went through. And think about what it meant for Him and His Father. How hard that was. How difficult that was. But how wonderful for you and me. So before we take the Lord's Supper, which we'll do immediately after this song, let's sing this song and think about what it is that God did for us. Let's sing together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
We're gathered around this table now to remember Jesus and to think about what he endured on the cross as he died as a sacrifice for our sins. I'd like to ask JB to offer thanks for the bread.
Our Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life, especially the opportunity that we have to gather together at this place and to remember that Jesus, our Savior, died upon the cross, that his body was nailed there for us. Be with us that we might partake of this bread at this time, remembering the suffering that he suffered in his body at that time. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
I stoned off for thanks for the fruit of vine.
Father, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have tremendously blessed with today, Father. And at this time, let us remember the blood that your Son shed on the cross for us as we partake of the wine this morning, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
The Lord's Supper and taking up a collection. We do that for a couple of different reasons. There's no particular reason why we have to go in any order at all. But we do like to let people know that there are different observances. There are different things the Lord commands the church to do. But they are, of course, related, as all of the things that we do in worship are related, because they are also both an acknowledgement of God's gifts. When we take the Lord's Supper, we acknowledge that God gave us His Son. When we have a collection, we are acknowledging that everything that we have is from God. And if He asks us to share some of that, to give some of that, to return some of that for them, then that's also acknowledging a gift from God. I'm going to sing a song in a moment. that talks some more about the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. The Psalms in the Old Testament, they are songs. And they're songs written to acknowledge the role that God plays in our life. That He's not a sideshow. He's not just part of our life. That He is in every part of our life. The Psalms acknowledge that His sovereign will dominates. That we see His handiwork everywhere. That everything that we do is from Him and for Him. The Psalms are written to express that in worship, to say to God, God, You are everything to me. This statement, Psalm 13, 5 through, but I have trusted in Your loving kindness, my heart shall rejoice in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. And we believe that. We sing to the Lord because He has been bountiful. He's given us everything. We acknowledge that His mercy, His kindness mean everything to us. And we rejoice in that. That's what singing is. It's a celebration. It's a rejoicing. It can be a mourning. It can be a repentance. But it is also a celebration. It is a way of saying life that God has given me is good. That God is good. And I'm surrounded by His goodness. Immersed in it. Feel it, experience it, know it, and want to acknowledge it. That's what you do when you sing these songs. You say, God, You have been bountiful to me. We're going to sing this song, Psalm 164, The Depth of God's Love. Turn to that song. It's also a song about our spiritual blessings. But that's not unrelated to our need to share, to give. You know, the truth is that without God's love, without His grace, without the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, then whether we give or we don't give wouldn't matter at all. But life would be pointless, meaningless. And all of the suffering and all of the misery in it would be meaningless and pointless too. But because we have salvation in Christ, because God sent His Son to die for us, then everything that we experience and everything that we have becomes meaningful. It becomes something important. It matters whether I give or don't give. It matters whether I share or don't share. Life and everything in it, the things that I enjoy, and even the things that I don't enjoy, it becomes something. This song says, oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down from the cross for me. They're the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in His suffering on Calvary. How my heart humbly bows in His presence today when I think of His agony. By His stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through His suffering on Calvary. Oh, what a marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By His blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free through His suffering on Calvary. Why wouldn't we give? Why wouldn't we be generous and kind? We're happy. We're free. We have everything to look forward to. Everything to rejoice because of God's grace and mercy. Let's sing that together.
The depth of God's love.
Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth depth of such wonderful love, flowing down from the cool and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary. How my heart humbly bows in His presence today when I think of His agony. By His stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing down fresh and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary. Oh, what marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By His blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free, through His suffering on Calvary. Such wonderful love, flowing downless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in His suffering on Calvary.
At this time, we'll take a collection to support the Lord's work through this congregation, and let's offer thanks before we do that. Our Holy Father in heaven, we're so thankful for all of the wonderful blessings that You provide for each one of us in this life. Father, You're so generous towards us, and we pray that You'll help us to always remember to be grateful and thankful for all You do. We pray now that You'll help us to have a cheerful heart as we give to support Your work. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Don't worry, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon now. Now, part of what we do and we sing to the Lord is we look forward. We don't just look backward to what God has done. We look forward to what He's going to do and what we're going to do. The life of a Christian is a hopeful life. It's a life of anticipation of good things to come. It's not just hoping and being sad and sorry for bad things that we've done, the guilt that we feel. It's not that at all. People think that that's what we're to be guilty, to be free, wondering what's going to happen, and being sad and being alone. It's from those things. Jesus did not die in order to make us sad. He died to make us happy and free, as we've just said. When we look forward in our life and the way that we anticipate living our life, it's good things. And it may involve sacrifices. It may involve challenges and difficulties. But look at that. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be singing praise to God. 1 Corinthians 14:26, passage we often cite with reference to singing, and it shows that the Christians in the early church, that they, when they gathered together in the worship assembly, that one of the things they did was they sang. They sang psalms and hymns together, and they did this in order to edify each other, to build each other up. And I hope that I do that. I hope that when I teach and I preach in the Word of God that I build you up, that I make you stronger and more committed and more happy to be in the service of God. But it's not just my job. It's your job too. When we sing these songs together, what we are doing is edifying each other. We are building each other up and we are saying to each other that our lives are good and they're going to be good. And they're going to be good because we are saved and we're in the Lord. And the life that we have to live and all of the sacrifices and all of the challenges, it's all good. It's all worth it. Look at this song that we're about to sing to declare our hope for future and encourage each other, because that's what we're going to do. The last mile of the way. The last mile of the way is a song that's about anticipating going the distance. And I don't know how long that's going to be. Nobody knows when your last mile in the journey of life is going to occur. It may be in 100 years. Not for me, but maybe for you if you're young enough. It may be tomorrow. It may be today. But however long that journey, Psalm 457, however long that journey, what we're saying to each other, what we're admonishing each other and encouraging each other to do, is to go the distance. Go all the way to the end. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work to the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. I know life's been hard for many of you. And I can't guarantee that it's going to get any easier either. But to see the great King in His beauty, I know that it will make it all worthwhile. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for His sheep gone astray, I'm sure He will show me His glory when I've traveled that last mile. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all His will to obey, it will enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile. See, I'm not the only preacher here. We all preach to each other. We say to each other, go forward, brother. Stay with it, sister. Go all the way to the end. Go the last mile. Even the last mile. And it may be a hard one, that last one. But it'll be worth it. That's what we say to each other. That's how we encourage each other. Let's sing the song together.
The last mile of the way, number 457.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I am sure He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all His will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way.
I learned to sing in church as a little boy, sitting next to my mom and my dad. And I really didn't know what I was singing when I first started singing these songs. And many of them are the same songs that have been sung my whole life. And I learned most of them without really knowing what they were about. But at some point, I did learn what they were about. And at that point, I made a decision that I would keep singing them. Not because I was the son of a godly man and woman, not because my friends were singing these songs, not because they were necessarily entertaining or because I enjoyed it, or as a lark, I made a decision to keep singing them because I believed in what they said. Psalm 5 and verse 11 says, "But let all who take refuge in You be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And may You shelter them, that those who love Your name may exalt in You." You see, we sing to our God because we love Him. And we exalt in Him. And we want other people to share in that, to join with us in exalting in God. Of course, it has to be your decision to do that. But we invite you to join us, to call. We call you and everyone to God's grace. We call you to God's grace because God's grace is wonderful. We've sung about it today because it's wonderful. But you have to see that it's wonderful. And maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you don't see what Jesus did that we remembered in taking the elements of the Lord's Supper today. Maybe you don't see that as being of any value to you or all the blessings of God. Maybe you don't see it. But if you do, if you see what God has done and you know that you should exalt in it, that you should be one of the people who take refuge in Him and sing with joy about Him, then we invite you. We encourage you. And we're going to sing a song that encourages you. And this song is Why Not Now? And it's a very simple question, isn't it? If you've been thinking about it, if you've been thinking about becoming a Christian and naming the name of Jesus Christ over you and being part of His church to worship Him, to join that angelic host that says, "Worthy is His name. Worthy art thou." Is He worthy to you? To acknowledge all that He has done. The Father's love for us. If you want to do that, then why not now? Why not today? The people around you are going to sing a song and they're asking, it's not me, it's all of us together. The Christians who are in this room are asking you, why won't you do this now? Let's sing that song together.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while your Father calls you home, will you not, dear sinner, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God your face, but today accept His grace. Why not now? Why not now?
Why
not Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day. He will keep you all the way. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
Why not now?
Appreciate that as well. David, anything else we should announce? At this time, we'll have our closing prayer.